Amen, all God's people. I love you on this morning. I love you with the love of the Lord. Amen, amen. Let us pray. Lord, have your way. Use me for your glory on this morning. Give your people the eyes to see, the ears to hear, a heart to embrace, the will and the courage to change, in order that we may live a life that's rich, blessed, and prosperous, but more than anything, that brings you glory. Save on today, heal on today, deliver on today. We ask that. We ask those things, God, in the name of Jesus. And let all God's people say, amen. Amen, church. All right, church family. Now, you see it's me, all right? So we don't need to do anything there. I love you. And you're like, isn't that the lady that sings? Yes, but I changed roles on this morning, all right? I changed roles. The honor and the privilege to serve in any capacity that the Lord tells you to serve in. All right, so this is my assignment on this morning. My assignment is to deliver God's word in Pastor Chris's absence, all right? Now, he's dedicating a statue this weekend and preaching at another church. So we pray God's blessings over him and his travels and as he disseminates the word of God. Now, my title, the title of the sermon today, and I'm kind of, I'm not good at naming sermon titles, but I got one for today, all right? My sermon title for today is Living Abundantly in 2026, God's Recipe for a Blessed and Prosperous Life, all right? All right, I'm gonna say it again so y'all can get it because this is significant, okay? Living abundantly. Y'all ought to shout on that. Like, y'all should be like, yes! All right? Living abundantly in 2026 and beyond. I need to put that in there. God's recipe for a blessed and prosperous life. Now, before I get into this, I'm hoping that I didn't throw anyone by this title because some people have a kind of hairy background when it comes to blessing and prosperity, right? Some people are very hypersensitive to anything or any verbiage that has to do with blessing or prosperity. But to put you at rest, I want you to know the Bible says that the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly. All right? So God is okay with abundant life. And I promise you, the Spirit is leaving. The Spirit is leading. I'm just here for the ride. All right? All right. Amen. So full transparency, you all. This sermon was for me. All right? And I'm not being selfish, but sometimes what you get in your studies, the overflow, is hopefully you pray that it will bless other people. So I'm hoping that this will bless you, this message will bless you as it has me. Now, Strong Tower family, this is a year that I feel an overwhelming desire and urgency to be aligned with God's will, purpose, and plan for my life. Anybody else feel that way? I feel an overwhelming urgency to be in the will of God. And, you know, with everything that we see going on in this country, senseless killings, people dying, my age, y'all, because I'm getting up there, right? But young and old, okay? Civil unrest, moral decay, the church is wowing out, like everything, y'all. Like, I don't have time to waste doing things that don't matter. I don't have time to entertain crazy stuff, messy people. Like, I don't have time for mess on this year. So, you know, I don't have time for games with people. I'm not getting in the mud with you. I don't need, you know, look, if that's what you got, goodbye. And then some people, look, and then I believe that there's some people that we need to say goodbye to, and some people that we say goodbye to that we need to realign and say hello to, all right? All right, so look, I don't have time for that. So I'm calling out things this year that go against God. I'm fighting for kingdom advancement this year. I don't have time for things that don't matter. Okay, I don't. Now, I want to make sure, though, that I'm in alignment with the will of God, you all. I don't care if I'm here for 3 more minutes or 30 more years. I want to give God all that I've got, every talent, every spiritual gift, every calling and assignment. I want to execute them so that when I leave up out of here and when I go to glory, I don't have nothing left but a hallelujah. That's all I got, y'all. Okay? Look, for my ballers in the house, I want to be in the pocket. Okay? Which means I want to be in that perfect state of focus. You know, I want to be in that perfect time so that I can execute precisely and optimally what God has for me, all right? For my young people, I just want to be locked in. That's all I got. That's what I want to be this year, all right? So one thing that I started doing, because I want to teach you, I don't want to just preach to you. I want to talk to you about a spiritual discipline. Some of the things that I do when I need to get where I need to get in God. So go on this journey with me. So one thing that I started doing this year, the Lord just impressed upon my heart to go back through the Bible again. All right? Go back. Okay? If the word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, I figure that that's where we need to go. We need to get back in the things of God. Right? So, you know, it's comprehensive, you all, and it will speak to every area of your life and mine, okay? So, and that's why the devil wants to distract us from it, all right? He doesn't want to get us again to the word. So I figure, as I read it, God would speak to me through his word, and he did, okay? So there's one word that resonated with me more than ever before, and that's what I want to spend the rest of my time today talking about it. And that is the word blessed, okay? Blessed. It's the word we hear, we may have used a lot, but I realize that, you know, when it's all said and done, you all, I want to be blessed by God. You know, look, is that a desire of anybody else in this house? I just want to be blessed by God. So as I started reading the scriptures, you all, I began to ask myself the question, what does it really mean to be blessed by God? And how do I position myself to be blessed by God? What is my responsibility, if any, for being blessed, okay? So I named this sermon God's Recipe for a Blessed and Prosperous Life, and I named it because I like to cook, all right? And I like to use a lot of recipes. Anybody else out there? I know Ben Wolf, he makes up his own. But I'm telling you, look, I like recipes. I like to cook, okay? And you all a recipe is a set of instructions for preparing a particular dish, right? Including a list of the ingredients and instructions on what to do with the ingredients. Amen? Y'all agree on that? All right, amen. Okay, now. Y'all, this is my recipe can. All right, I know it's a mess. Some of y'all that are like OCD, you're like, oh my God, what in the world, okay? But this is my recipe can, all right? Now, this is my treasured recipe can, all right? Now, I've had it for over 30 years, okay? Now, some of the cards in here are faded, okay? Some even have a bit of grease on them, some batter on them stuck to them. But these in here are some of my grandmother's greatest hits. All right. Now, anybody got that? Anybody got one of these in your house? Okay, greatest hits, right? Now, no matter. Now, look, y'all, she has a banging recipe for waffles and sugar cookies. All right? Waffles and sugar cookies. Now, No matter, you all, no matter. Look, I'm known for these waffles, y'all. I'm known for these waffles. Like Auntie June make me some waffles, right? But guess what? Anytime I make, anytime I make anything that my grandmother, any of her recipes, I always go back to the original recipe. Okay? Y'all, you should have, by now, you're like 30 years, you should have memorized it. But guess what? I always go back to the card. You know why? Because I've tried to bake things by memory and inevitably I leave something out and the recipe doesn't end up the way it needs to be. Anybody experience that? Okay. Well, I look at the Bible as God's recipe book for godly living. Everything I need for life and godliness is here in this here book right here. We don't even carry them no more. It's here in this book right here. Everything we need for life and godliness is in here. But unfortunately, there are times when I try to maneuver life and situations without God's recipe. And the situation ends up compromised. You know why? Because I didn't look up God's ingredients and instructions for handling a situation. Y'all, today, we are altering God's recipes for godly living. You know, let me give you an example of how we alter. Like, but how, y'all don't do that. Yeah, you do. We all do it, right? Okay. For example, the Bible tells us that we should have no other gods before him. But we add my husband, my kids, and my job. We altered the recipe. Okay? I'm going to give you another one. The Bible says flee fornication, right? But we add unless we in a committed relationship. We do it, y'all. We add to... Look. Pastor Jewel, we're going to keep it real up in this house. You understand what I'm saying? I done added to the recipe and y'all have too. So let's just keep it clean, right? All right. And we wonder why we have half-baked impact, salty attitudes, and flat faith. Follow the recipe. Okay. And the Bible strictly warns us not to add or take away from the word of God. Okay? Satan was rebuked by Jesus himself for word tampering. All right? So, as I stated, y'all, I'm trying to be in the pocket this year. So, I went straight to the Bible to get God's instructions for how to be blessed. Okay? And guess what? It's there. It's there, you all. So let's just follow and greet. So as I begin praying and reading and understanding more about what it really means to be blessed by God, as outlined in the scripture, I realized that my definition about blessings and being blessed was tainted. It was off, okay? It had a side order of the world in the definition. Okay, all right? So church family, I just need to report to you, there's a huge discrepancy in what many believers are calling blessed and what God defines as blessed. See, many people in the church define being blessed as getting what you want when you want it from God. We are calling everything we think is good a blessing and everything we don't want or like a curse. Okay? But as I'm studying what it really means to be blessed, y'all, I realize we are off scripture. We are off scripture, okay? We call Job cursed, but he was blessed. And we call the rich young ruler blessed, but he was cursed. Okay, all right. So I'm here to poke some holes in some thoughts around being blessed. Because I noticed that many things people were calling a blessing were robbing them of peace, joy. They were deteriorating mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and physically at the hand of the blessing. At the hand of the blessing. All right? Then I encounter people that have minimal things, but but they seem to have the greatest joy and peace. So again, I asked God, give me some wisdom and insight into this whole thing about being blessed and blessings so I can reset and realign. Now look, I want to encourage you like I've encouraged myself, church. A walk with God is about daily resetting and realignment. It's about daily resetting and realignment. A healthy walk with God should include seeking, questions, and change. Okay? Never be afraid to tell God, I need a better understanding in this area. Your area may be love. It may be trust. It may be courage. It may be fear. Whatever it is, the Bible says that if we seek wisdom regarding anything, that he will freely give it to us. He wants to do that as his children. So we have a great promise, church. So where in the Holy Recipe book did I go to learn about blessed people? Y'all, I found a recipe, all right? And the recipe is in Psalm 1, all right? So y'all, I need y'all to go ahead and load up. Get on your phone, get your Bible. We going to Psalm 1, put it up. We got Psalm 1, all right? Put it up on the board. Everybody get Psalm 1. Okay, Psalm 1, while you're looking for it, Psalm 1 is a beautiful, powerful recipe for a life that is truly blessed and profoundly prosperous, right? On God's terms, right? So let's turn to Psalm 1, and we're going to read Psalm 1, 1 through 3, and we're going to let God show us step by step, ingredient by ingredient, how to be blessed in 2026 and beyond. Amen, church? Amen. All right, let's get it. All right, so we're going to read it together, okay? Because reading the word is an act of worship, all right? So let's do that. We're going to worship through reading of the word, all right? So here we go. Ready? All right, here we go. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law, he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and all that he does, he prospers. Amen, church. We just got the recipe for being blessed. All right. Now, before I deal with the text, I did something on myself that I normally do in medicine, okay, for my patients, all right? I got a history, all right? So, you know, when you come in the office and you're like, Dr. Jewel, I got this going on with me and that going on with me. First thing I do, I'm going to get a history, all right? Anybody work their way, you know, and if they're a clinician, you need to get a history, all right? So I got a history on myself, okay? So I wanted to know, like, you know, what is it, how did my understanding of blessed, like, where did I get it from, okay? So I want to share a little bit with you about my history around the word blessed, okay? So I was at a church where you had to pay for blessings, okay? Y'all like, my. Yeah, I was in one of them churches. Anybody else been in one of them churches, okay? You had to pray for blessings, you had to pay for blessings, right? And you may have a certain line, if you gave $29.97, they would come up with this random number, right? You know, I don't know. You know, if you love the Lord, it's 3, and if you praise him, it's 7. Yeah, I don't know where they got the numbers from, right? But they would come up with these numbers, all right? If you get $29.95, you stand in this line. If you get $102.07, you stand in this line. You know, if you give $1,000, you stand in this line, right? But what was real interesting is that every line had a different blessing. Okay, so I learned the pay for blessing model, okay? Let me tell you what else I learned though. But when I was young, right, so that was when I got older, but it messed me up because growing up as a young person, I used to believe that the word blessed was like a real serious church word, right? Like when I heard the word blessed, I assigned it to church, right? Because it was a word that had great value and worth to me. You know, when I went to the Episcopal Church, because a lot of my family is a part of the Episcopal Church, you know, I was seeing them proclaim blessings over people. And like when I went to another church, some of the songs they sang was one song they sang at the end of the service and was like, "The Lord bless you and keep you." Y'all, those words, bless, blessing, and all that, they were serious church words to me. Being blessed, it had a huge spiritual weight and great significance. So that's my history. So no wonder, that's why I want to be blessed, right? But then when I went to church, you know, my thoughts around this word started becoming challenged because I heard a lot of people, church and non-church people, using the word. Okay, so my sacred word started getting tossed around by everybody. All right, so I heard people calling things a blessing that I knew they robbed, they cheated, they deceived people to get it. Yeah. Yet they called it a blessing. Y'all, that messed me up. I was like, I'm blessed, but you done manipulated and deceived somebody to get it. So you know, it's one of those things you like. You know? Then anytime somebody got a house, a car, a financial windfall, a promotion, kids got something they desired, you know, that anything that was perceived as good was a blessing. I was like, okay, I can go for that some. But then I saw these things compromising them mentally, emotionally, and spiritually instead of these blessings pulling them towards the things of God, it seemed to be moving them further away from God. But you blessed like that. My word was getting messed up, y'all. All right. So then, you know, I heard people talking about, I'm blessed and highly favored of the Lord. But you the biggest gossip, you divisive, you unloving, and you unforgiving, and you're messy. But I'm blessed and highly favored. My words start getting a little tainted, right? Then I saw a little discrepancy because I saw when people were going through trials in life, and I knew these people really, really loved God and served God. When they were going through trials, they were automatically taken off the blessed list and interrogated about their blessed status. The math wasn't mathing, y'all. So I saw the term blessed that I held in such high regard being messed with, y'all, okay? I wasn't solid anymore about what being really blessed was. You know, the spiritual recipe I felt was being tampered with, but I didn't know quite how, because what is happening is that, you know, you can't put 2/3 flesh and 1/3 spiritual in the recipe and expect God to be exalted by that. You know? So, you know, just if you don't get anything else out of this message, look, the devil loves when we tamper with the word of God. Okay? He loves it when we allow our flesh to alter it, to fit us, because he knows scripture tampering causes spiritual confusion, faith erosion, and doctrinal instability. It does. Scripture tampering causes spiritual confusion, faith erosion, and doctrinal instability. So with the time I have left, I'm going to talk about the 3 D's of being blessed, of blessed people, all right? The discipline, the devotion, and the destiny of blessed people. Y'all ready? All right, so point one. All right, so the Psalm 1 starts off with, blessed is the man. All right, so when I saw blessed is the man, I was like, dee, 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 I got something here. This is a recipe for being blessed, all right? So blessed is the man. So let's get a working definition of blessed, all right? I think we got to have that in order for this thing to lock, right? So, you know, now, the important fact is that the word blessed is used around 300 times in the King James Version of the Bible, okay? Any word that's used that much in the Bible merits us having a correct understanding. Would you not agree? Amen. All right, so church, blessed in this scripture is a Hebrew word that's used to imply a state, a mode, a posture of existence, of unshakable fulfillment and joy, divine favor that stems from a relationship with God, obedience to the word of God, and alignment with the will of God. That's the definition of blessed. I'm going to say it again. All right. Blessed in this scripture is a Hebrew word used to imply a state, a posture, a presence, an existence, okay, of unshakable fulfillment and joy and divine favor that stems from a relationship with God, obedience to the word of God, and alignment with the will of God. All right. So we need to use some. We got to start somewhere, right? So that's the definition of being blessed. All right. Being blessed is a state of being, a presence, a posture of existence that reflects and exudes unshakable, unwavering, solid fulfillment and joy that comes from relationship, obedience, and alignment with God. Nowhere does it say that a blessed person is measured by the things that they have. It's not there. Okay? All right? So you will find other scriptures throughout the Word of God that will further expand on what blessed means for believers. You know, you can go to the Sermon on the Mount, but I'm taking you on my journey as I grow in the knowledge of being blessed as outlined in Psalm 1, okay? You can go other places, but Psalm 1. Now, being blessed, okay, because you're like, well, Dr. Jewel, can you be blessed and, you know, can you be a blessed person and have things? Absolutely yes. Okay, being blessed can result in divine provision, protection, favor, and strength. Yes, blessed people can receive things, but blessed people can also have things withheld from them temporarily and permanently. So you got to shake this thing down, all right? So, major point, if you don't get anything from this, okay, blessings, things don't make you blessed. Whether you have things or not doesn't make you blessed. Being in relationship with God, in obedience to God, and in alignment with the will of God is what makes you and I blessed. Now, you can have all the things and be richer than you ever been, in the words of Rick Ross, but check this out. But if you ever been struggling with joy and peace and can't seem to get your footing, okay, get in alignment. Get in alignment. Because, y'all, there is an unshakable, I love this, there's an unshakable joy and fulfillment that comes from being in relationship, obedience, and alignment with God. There is a peace, y'all. It is something that, you know, you're like, yes, because so many of us have things, but we don't have peace. Okay? We're not in alignment. You can't wow out and do life the way you want it, how you want it, and expect to be blessed and in alignment, right? You may be like, well, I'm blessed because I'm saved. Yeah, there are certain benefits that come. That's God's grace, right? Yeah, you justified and glorified, but how you live life here matters. Because your blessed life serves as an example of the goodness and the glory of God. Like, your blessed life is a testimony. It's not just for you. It's for others to see the goodness of God in and through you and me. Amen. Okay? So, this is what I did, y'all. This is what I did. So, I came up with some more words because I realized that, you know, I may need to change and get some more vocabulary around blessed, right? So I'm going to give y'all some more words in your arsenal because, you know, some of the people, you know, like I said, I know all kinds of people like, man, you blessed. You know, oh, man, that's blessed. No. Because I got the right definition of blessed, right? So I know blessed is a word. I wasn't wrong when I was a kid. I just didn't know everything, but I wasn't wrong. It is a sacred term. Like, it is a term reserved for the redeemed, right? Okay? So when I start talking to people, and even some of the people in the church, and I know you ain't following in alignment like the way you need to, you know, you out here wowing out, and I know that you cheated on your taxes. That's why you got that check and all that stuff like that, right? I'm going to use some other words to explain what you are, right? So these are some words I want y'all to put in your vocabulary. You're fortunate. You're privileged. That was a successful endeavor. You know, you got to get some more vocabulary, because everybody ain't rolling right. Some people rolling and riding dirty. All right. And we can't be assigned and blessed to all that. All right. So I'm hopeful that you have a better biblical definition to understand around the word being blessed. All right. I can stay here for a minute. Like, we can do part two, part three on that. But hopefully you got a better definition. So let's go a little bit further in the three D's of a blessed person. All right. Now, verse 2 reveals something significant. It reveals that a blessed person adopts certain disciplines. All right? Okay. For example, you know, if there is someone that I admire, like, if, you know, if they like a financial guru or something like that, and I kind of admire, you know, some of the things that they do financially, one of the things I'll do, if I have a chance to interview them, like, I'll ask them, like, what's your grind? Okay? What's your pattern of behavior? Like, what are your habits? You know, what are your best practices? Okay? And then what I'll do, if I get that information, if I look at YouTube, whatever it is, like, I'll look at it and kind of get that from, and then I'll begin adopting it into my everyday routines, because it sets me up to accomplish the goal that I want to accomplish. Y'all cool with that? Y'all got that?
Yeah.
All right, now, the recipe for a blessed person, Psalm 1 and 2 says that they walk not, blessed people, walk not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. So that means if I desire to be blessed, I need to adopt these patterns of behavior and best practices, right? Because that's God's recipe, right? Well, my first response was, give me that emoji. No, give me that. This was my first response. I was like, whoa, because I was like, whoa. That was my first response, right? I know a whole lot of people find that category. I'm not gonna have no friends. Like, I'm just talking around. Like, right? Second thing I did was I looked at the three postures and three types of people. And I was like, okay. Also, when I looked at the scripture, I saw a progression. Okay? I saw a progression. When I looked at the people, I saw a progression of depravity. Okay? I saw that the people go from bad habits to worse. And then engagement went from movement to stagnation. Okay? First you're walking. Then you're standing. Then you're sitting with them. So the progression was, you went from movement to stagnation. But then when you get to stagnation, the people got more ratchet. Okay? All right. So what am I trying to say? Who we walk with, stand with, sit with matters to blessed people. My mother used to say it like this: association brings about assimilation. That's what my mama said. Somebody had my back on that. Association brings about assimilation, all right? Some people would say, if you lay down with dogs, y'all better preach this. All right, there you go. All right. Somebody would say, you look like who feeds you. Okay. All right? That's what people say. But the Bible says that bad company corrupts. Bam. There we go. We got the recipe, right? We got it. It's right there in the book. Bad company corrupts good character. Now, you all, it perplexes me. Okay. I'm gonna put on my clinical hat, right? Okay. I got on my lab coat here. All right. I'm gonna put on my clinical hat. It perplexes me how in the physical we understand things, but in the spiritual we act new. Okay, so let me give you an example. Let me mess with y'all a little bit. Y'all go, let me mess. Okay, here we go. Okay. So during this COVID and flu season, especially where we see high infection rates, you know, my educators, my people in offices and everything, you know, if you care about your health, you may take some precautions not to get sick, right? COVID and flu season, if it's high, right, you're going to take some precautions. So what you going to do? You're going to hand wash. You're going to put on masks, and you're going to be like, if somebody cough, you be looking at them all crazy, like, you better get up out of here, like, get out of my office, don't come around me, like, nah, LaSanya won't even let nobody touch her, like, nah, back it up, okay, all right? So you take precautions. We actively engage practices to preserve our health, but we'll allow our spirit to be unprotected and exposed to all kinds of spiritual germs. We'll let people sneeze negativity, sneeze nasty attitudes, sneeze unedifying words towards others. We allow people to cough seeds of discord, gossip, nonsensical garbage. We'll let them cough, hack, spit, all that all over us, right? We know they're contagious, and they aren't even trying to cover their immaturity and ungodly spiritual infection, but we will walk with them, talk with them, sit with the infected people for hours and don't think it's going to infect us. Y'all, that is delusional and it's not biblical. It's just not. It's delusional. It's not biblical. All right? And I'm going to say something else. If they don't infect you, it's a possibility you may already be infected. Elder Yuri, can I get an amen? Amen. That's our ID doctor over there. All right, infectious disease. Okay. All right, I hear something in the spirit. I hear it. Okay. Don't be foolish. Okay, brothers and sisters in the Lord. You and I were saved by Jesus. Like, Jesus hung out with people. Jesus wasn't hanging out with people to wow out. Jesus was hanging out for people because he knew what he came here for, and that was to redeem people, right? Jesus cannot be infected because he is God. He's God. But guess what? You and I are not God, and we can get infected. Okay? He was incapable of being influenced by sin. That is not you, and that is not me. Okay? All right? That's why there are scriptures, you all, recipes to help us do spiritual infection control, y'all. That's why it's there. Blessed people are protective of their spirits. So, you know, I just want to kind of go over these three people because I want you to have an understanding of what ungodly people look like. Okay, what sinners look like in this scripture and what scoffers look like. Because I need you all to be on high alert, okay, for possible contamination. Hey, glory. All right, I want y'all to be on high alert. All right. So ungodly people. These people live without regard for God's ways and principles, often engaging in behaviors that are contrary to his command. All right, y'all. So let me put this on a real level. All right, so check this out. I call some of these people system deviants. All right, so you're like, what is a system deviant? All right, you know them people that you know, whether they family, friends, they always know a way to cheat and rob the system. Let's reroute your cable. Let's see how we can, let's see if we can claim this bug over here on your taxes. Like, I did it. And you hanging out with them, right? Next thing you know, you like, for real? You go from you so ridiculous to for real? They start telling you how much money they done saved. You're like, whoa. You done went. See, that it can happen, y'all. You better watch hanging out with ungodly people. You got to watch it, all right? All right, let me go to this group right here. Those are your system deviants. I gave y'all the other word. All right, sinners, all right? Sinners are those who continue in sinful behaviors without repentance. They don't care. I'm running women and I don't care. Y'all know Uncle Bobby. Uncle Bobby been married to Aunt Lula. They've been living together for 40 years. But Aunt Lula ain't really a real aunt. Like Aunt Lula, they ain't married. You know, it's people that they're like, we ain't getting married either. And then, you know, and you find out at the funeral because you don't, Lord. I'm gonna see some things at funeral. All right, sinners. All right, don't mess with them. Some of y'all be like, no, you need, I love them. Like, I ain't tell you not to love them. I'm just talking about you better do some spiritual infection control because you know what they'll do? They will normalize sin in your mind. All right, okay, got one more group. Scoffers. These individuals take a more aggressive stand. They mock or ridicule godly values or the faith itself. They exhibit disdain for those who seek to follow God, actively scoffing at spiritual truths and teaching of the righteous. Let me tell you who they look like. They the people that talk about the church all the time. They talk about God. They talk about your faith. They tell you you're stupid for following that pastor. You're stupid for giving your money and tithe and offering. That don't make no sense. Giving all your money to the church. All Christians are hypocrites. The clergy ain't no good. Ain't nothing no good about the church. I wouldn't do it. Those are scoffers, y'all. And many of us know them, right? Don't be sitting down with them. That ain't Jewel talking. That's the Bible, you all. Okay? All right, again, this distinction highlights the progression from neglect of God, ungodly, to active wrongdoing, sinners, and ultimately to contempt for God's ways, scoffers, okay? Now, frequent and chronic exposure to ungodly, sinners, and scoffers can cause spiritual desensitization, which occurs when a person is repeatedly exposed to influences or behaviors that contradict their faith, leading to a normalization of sin or a complacent attitude towards spiritual growth and accountability. Y'all, spiritual desensitization creates diminished conviction, spiritual apathy, sin normalization, and repentance resistance. I'm gonna say it again. Spiritual desensitization creates diminished conviction, spiritual apathy, sin normalization, and repentance resistance, right? So the Bible tells us to manage our interactions with these people. Blessed people respect this instruction and act obediently to the word of God. Okay? Now, some of you may say, well, I'm not being loving. I did not tell you not to love them. Love them. Show them the love of God. But I'm telling you how to manage your interaction with them. Because that's what, not what I said, that's what the Bible, the recipe book said that blessed people do. Amen? We all right now? Yeah. All right. Now, devotion, okay? The three D's, okay? Three D's. Right? Discipline. Now we're going to devotion. This is short. Blessed people establish a regular discipline of personal devotion to God. Okay? The scripture says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Okay? A blessed person delights in God's word and meditates on it. So let me give you an idea what delight means in this scripture. The term delight suggests a joy, a love for God's ways that is not birthed out of obligation. It's not a check-off box, y'all. It points to a heart transformed by grace that finds pleasure in God's commands. Delighting in the law of the Lord involves actively engaging and embracing God's word as a source of joy, wisdom, and guidance in one's life. That's what it means to delight and delighting in the word of the Lord, okay? And when it says that he meditates, this involves a deep contemplation and consistent engagement with God's truths. It reinforces the understanding that the word of God is not merely read, but it is to be embraced, reflected upon, and applied to our lives. That's meditation. So a blessed person delights in the word and meditates on the word. So y'all, the question for the house today is, what happened to our delight? What happened to our delight, our love, our intimacy, our thirst for the word of God? Let me give you this, okay? Let me give you this analogy, and maybe it's a lock-in, all right? Have you ever been to a restaurant and before the meal comes, you order a bunch of appetizers? Like, I just went to this graduation and we ordered like 6 appetizers, right? So we were loading up. They bought bread, 6 appetizers, right? Bread, water, chips, salt, everything, mozzarella stick, everything, appetizers, right? And so we were hungry, so we fed on them, right? So, you know, by the time we got our main dish, we were all full, right? So the waiter came and was like, do you like your food? Like, yeah, we don't really know. We didn't really eat it because we got full off the appetizers, right? Y'all, I'm emotional about this because God gave this to me for this house, okay? It's hard to fill up on the world and then have an appetite for the word. I want that to settle in because that's for this house. See, there are certain words that are for the house that you're in, all right? That's for this house. It's hard to fill up on the world and then have an appetite for the word. Y'all, come on, y'all. Come on, let's own it. We're filling up on all kinds of things. Y'all, we can watch a show and binge watch and watch 20 seasons of that thing. Like, we just stay in the bed all day. We just watch the whole thing, right? And some of the stuff we watching is just as crazy, buck wild, against God, ratchet, just ridiculous, right? But we can do that, right? Okay? Filling up on the world. You ain't got an appetite for the word. Okay? What you expose yourself to matters, y'all. All right? So, everything, y'all, everything that we need to help us to grow and delight in the word is here, y'all. We have Wednesday night gathering Grow Now. We have Sunday morning church school. We have women's small group. We have men's prayer. We have men's group. Y'all, we have so many things here for us to grow and delight in the word of the Lord. So, you know, we're trying to bring the opportunities. We're bringing the opportunities for you to delight and meditate in the word of God, for your devotion to be enhanced. What I'm saying is that we got the opportunities. What happened to your delight? Yeah. We got the opportunities. What happened to your delight? You know, my mother used to say, you know, it's a time where opportunity, preparation meets opportunity. There needs to be a time where what we have meets your delight, right? Connect them, right? Okay. So blessed people delight in the word of God and meditate on the word of God, okay? By incorporating these practical ways into your life, you can cultivate a genuine delight in the law of the Lord, allowing it to shape your thoughts, actions, and overall spiritual health, right? Last point. Blessed people have a prosperous destiny. Because you may be like, Dr. Jewel, like, what's in it for me? All right, what do I get out of this deal? I need you to be reassured that blessed people have a prosperous destiny, okay? The Bible says that he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all, listen, I like this, in all that he does, he prospers. Y'all, I think we just got our recipe for a blessed and prosperous life. Look, I love this imagery. I love this imagery. You know, a tree planted by a constant and consistent supply of water, you all. That's the way believers look and thrive when we're grounded in the Word of God. Okay? Those who are rooted in the Word of God will bear much fruit in their lives. They will exhibit characteristics of spiritual maturity and good works in time, okay? Which will position them to fulfill God's purposes for their lives, okay? They will be positioned to prosper greatly. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So I want to give a recap just so we remember. Blessed person, according to Psalm 1. There is a fulfillment, a huge fulfillment and joy that they have, and a divine favor by God, because first of all, they have a relationship with God. They're obedient to God, okay? And they are aligned with the will of God. A blessed person protects their spiritual integrity by discerning and limiting their interactions with the ungodly, sinners, and scoffers. They realize that exposure can cause spiritual infection. A blessed person prioritizes the Word of God and faithfulness to it every day, all day, okay? The word is a lamp that guides their steps. It is the surgeon that transforms their hearts. They run to it, not from it, all right? And they know that 45 minutes on Sunday, when convenient, doesn't position them to be optimally blessed. They accept the word of God. They obey the word of God. Because the Bible says, my sheep will hear my voice and they will obey me. That's the word of God for the people of God. Amen, saints?
Amen.
Amen. Will you stand to your feet this morning? Musicians, will you please come? Intercessory prayer team, please come forward. So, today, whether you're here in this house of worship or whether or not you are online, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, the first step towards being blessed is to know Jesus. The first step towards being blessed is to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. So if you don't know, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you don't have to leave this moment, this day the same. All you have to do is say, Lord Jesus, I believe you died for my sins and you rose from the dead. You did it for me, that you have all power. And a part of that power means that now I can be in right relationship with you, and I am positioned to truly and richly be blessed by you. If today you have not accepted and made that decision, you can do it today. You can do it today. If you are online, if you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you can do that right now. Is there anyone? Will you just raise your hand? If you want to accept Jesus Christ today as your personal Lord and Savior, will you just raise your hand? Just raise your hand wherever you are. If you want today, like, I want to be blessed, really blessed. Will you raise your hand today? The rest of you, can you just pray? Pray that that person will come to the knowledge of the Lord. They may be online listening to my voice. Today in your living room, wherever you are, you can say yes to the Lord and accept him as your Savior. If you know today that you want to make Strong Tower Bible Church your church home, you've put it off. You're like, Lord, I want to delight in you. I want to be a part of community that loves me, will teach me, will challenge me. We can serve in that role. God has you here, and God has you hearing my voice for a reason. Look, hang out here until you find somewhere else, but hang out here. We love you. We want you to be positioned, to be blessed, and to flourish, not exclusively for your personal gain, but for God's glory to be fulfilled in and through your life, okay? So if you don't know the Lord today, hey, we'll meet you down here, we'll pray for you, and we'll get you on that journey. If you want to make Strong Tower your church home, you've been floating, you're like, I need to get somewhere, so I can delight in the Lord. I can get my joy, my peace back. I can position myself to prosper and be blessed. Come on down. We'll get your name. We'll reach out to you. And that, if you're online, please, you do the same. Give us your information. Type it out. Whatever we need. Put it in the chat. Look, we want you to be in position to prosper. Lastly, if you want prayer, you're like, Dr. Jewel, this man, I need to change who I roll with. I want to be blessed, but I got a lot of things going on in my mind and my heart. I need someone to pray for me, to pray over me, to help me. Will you come down right now? Our intercessors are here. They will pray for you. Don't be afraid. Come on down. Tell the devil, you're a lie. I'm coming down. I need somebody to pray for me. Somebody who knows God and who loves me, who cares about me being in proper position, you can come down. These are our intercessors. They go before the Lord and call your name out to him so that God can do in your life what only he can do, all right? So please, these are our intercessors. You are always welcome to come and reach out to them. All right? Okay. All right. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you that, as I said, your word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Lord God, you gave us the recipe for being blessed. You laid it out in your word. Lord God, will you give us the will, the heart to embrace it, to delight in your word, to meditate on it, let it wash over us, let it change us, let it make us fresh so that we can execute your will, your way, your plan for our lives, Father God, and so that you can be exalted and lifted up and glorified through our lives, Father God. Lord, you use imperfect people. We are imperfect people, but we realize as we follow your recipe for godly living, Lord God, that we know that we won't be sinless, but we will sin less. We won't be sinless, but we will sin less because of our love for you that comes through delighting, meditating, and obeying. So, Lord God, We thank you. We bless you for every part of this service. Be exalted and lifted up. Continue to marinate. Continue to wrestle with the hearts of your people, even when they leave this place, Lord God, that you are working in their lives, Lord God, as the seed was planted, Lord God. And we thank you. We will give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise, because you do all things well. Bless your people. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray. And all of God's people say, amen and praise God. Love someone on your way out today. God bless you. Thank you. I pray that you were blessed on this morning. Go in peace. In Jesus' name, amen.